This morning, I want to start with a question. And this question will probably hit a lot of people differently. Some people, it may make you happy. Some people, it may bring a tear to your eye. But either way, I really want you to think about this for a moment. What brought you to Jesus? Think about that for just for a moment. What brought you to Jesus? To some, it may have been the fact that we were just at a point in our life to where we were at rock bottom, that we had no hope, we had no way out, and somehow or another, somebody introduced us or something happened that Jesus made his way in. Some of us, maybe you were born and maybe you were in church before you were even born. Maybe you've spent your entire life inside the church and God and Jesus and the scriptures and the word have just been part of everything that you've ever known. That is also awesome. But regardless of how you got here, there's something, and we need to be reminded more frequently about the wonder of his presence. Because there's something about the presence of Jesus. There's something about when we just stop and think about his presence in those moments in life. And let's just face it, I mean, we all go through humanity. We all have to deal with something. There's nobody that's going to escape this life without ever having to go through something. But when you know, and when you have that relationship with Jesus, whenever you spend time in his presence, it truly makes a difference. I've come across people in life that don't have a relationship with God, and they struggle, and they have such negative attitudes, and everything's a fight, and everything's always negative, and they can't see the positive in anything. And I stop myself, and I think that what just kind of a sad way to be, and a sad outlook to live life with no hope, to live life without understanding and knowing that there's somebody that has your back, that there's somebody there with you, that his presence is always there for us, and to not understand that. But we all have a story. I was reminded of the time, I don't know, it was several years ago, but some of you may remember when we did the cardboard signs. For those of you who were here, basically they were cardboard testimonies, is I think what they were called. And several of us, there was a lot of us that lined up across the stage, and we held various sizes of cardboard. And on one side, it said something like, I was alone. I was contemplating the end. I saw no hope. And then you flipped over the sign and it said, but Jesus. It was a testimony, because we've all been through those times. But when we stop and realize, we all, regardless of where you come from, we all need his presence. And it's a presence, as we're going through this series, we're going to focus on the wonder of Christmas. And there's just something, I never want to forget the wonder of it. I love this time of year because it brings us back. It reminds us of all those things that when we get so busy going throughout our year and going throughout our weeks, that, I mean, let's just face it, hopefully I'm not the only one. There's some days that you get to the end of the day and you think, man, did I even pray today? Because of all the stuff that we have, I mean, if we look at the to-do list on our phone, I've seen Dwayne's to-do list. Man, it is crazy. I mean, he taught me how to color code. Because he's got to color code different sections of things in his calendar because he's got so much stuff just every day. But there's something when we get in and we realize that God is always, always with us. His presence is always with us. I get the first week, and I'm excited about that because there's just something about that promised presence. When we think about the Bible and we're all coming in and I love how all of the four Gospels all kind of start with that whole beginning, because it had been, you know, it just slight little history. It had been about 400 years since the end of the last prophets were recorded to we got into all of a sudden now we're talking about the birth of Jesus. So it had been quite a while, and it just kind of radio silence. And I was reminded of that because anybody else ever feel like you just kind of went through radio silence with God for a little bit? It's like you have this need, and God, I need you to answer me. I need to know what's going on, and you get radio silence. Sometimes there's a reason for that silence. God does everything on purpose. Nothing is by surprise for him. I'll share with you a little bit from Luke chapter 1. This is from the NIV. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Jumping into the story of Jesus. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I can't imagine. I mean, we read these stories in the Bible to have an angel show up, like, because I mean, angels weren't small people. I mean, it's not like the little cartoon character we see, the little angel sitting on somebody's shoulder. No, angels are tall. They're big. They're massive. And to have one show up is like, oh. So this angel shows up to Mary, and Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. In other words, it's saying Mary was scared, as most people would be. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid." Anytime an angel shows up and it's on a mission for God, if you just, as you read through the scriptures, they always start everything with, "Do not be afraid," because there is no fear in God. It says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" Okay, I'm not sure I would be thinking clearly at this point, but Mary is like, whoa, okay, but how is this going to be? And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Let me repeat that. For no word from God will ever fail. Just like Mama said it earlier today, it may not happen in our time. It may not happen when we think, but God's word will not fail. We can stand on it. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. I can't imagine how overwhelming that would be. I mean, first and foremost, just for an angel to show up, it's like, whoa. But then to have just the grandeur of everything that just happened, I mean, most of us are like, hold on a minute, I got to process. It's like, what just happened? I mean, it's a lot to take in. And the angel brought Mary good news, but see, it also brought complications. Anybody ever have something happen in life that you got what you thought you wanted, and then all of a sudden, maybe you didn't think of all the challenges that were going to come with getting what you thought you wanted? You thought, well, if I just get this, everything's going to be okay. But no, when you got that, all these other things popped in. And now you have to, all these other problems you have to solve. Because sometimes we get blinded by just one particular thing, and God's like, no, but there's so much more. But when we learn to trust him, when we learn to just have peace in his presence, when we learn to let him have control, when we learn to allow him to do what he's planned, and we can rest in knowing that if he gives it to you, it's going to work out. His word never fails. It says right there, what would happen if an angel showed up and said, "I'm going to give you $1 million"? That'd be pretty cool. But you know, there's complications with that. What would happen if $1 million just showed up in your bank account? First of all, Uncle Sam's going to show up and say, "Hey, where's our part?" And the cops are probably going to say, "Okay, where did all this money come from? How is it that you landed all of this?" And I mean, let's just be honest. If you say, "Oh, God gave it to me," how far do you think that's going to fly? Share this little story with you. I had a friend that was working a job up on Highway 67, and they were doing some pavement repairs, and they had one of the lanes shut down. Well, somebody had come through pulling a mobile home. Well, they had lane restrictions, so no oversized loads were supposed to come through. And as they're driving down through there, they're just knocking over cones. And he's the inspector on the job, so he jumps in his truck and he's chasing them down. And he said, I finally got caught up with him and honked enough that they stopped. He said, I got out, and he said, I was giving that guy a piece of my mind. I was yelling at him, and I said, who do you work for? He said, the guy just looked down at me and said, Jesus. Looked straight, put it in gear, and drove off. He's like, I don't know what to say. He said, I'm not going to judge him. He said, at that point, be safe. But seriously, I mean, yes, Mary was blessed, and we all think about the blessings of Mary, but the complications with that blessing. She was engaged. This is, you know, for some of us, you know, not young people, you know, there was that stigma that come with the whole being pregnant and not being married thing that, you know, that's kind of what we grew up in, and it had such a negative connotation with it. I mean, even today, you know, we kind of hope for the best, but things happen. But in that time and situation, Mary could have been stoned. She could, I mean, he had every right as the male in that culture to divorce her and have her stoned. That was the culture. But he didn't. It could have cost her, even though she was given this awesome blessing, it could have cost her everything. Her reputation, her marriage. Well, God will never call us to do something that contradicts his word. Following Christ often costs us something. It could cost you friends. It could cost you relationships. I remember when I had been in and out of church and had kind of been developing a relationship with God from the time I was 4 years old, and someone invited me to Vacation Bible School. But it probably wasn't until I was a teenager that it really clicked. At that time, I can still remember, it was at a summer camp. Never, never, ever doubt what can happen at a summer camp, because it was at a summer camp that it clicked for me. I felt like we were there all week, and I felt like everything that guy said when he taught, every message was from me, and it changed my life from that day forward. And I decided that was my time, that it was time for me to change. It was time for me to be better, to do better, because I know God has better. But it cost me. It cost me a lot of ridicule. I played lots of sports at school. I was the anomaly. I was the weird unicorn. I was the jock nerd. So I was on the quiz bowl team, but yet I was a varsity athlete. So naturally, I got ridiculed a lot. You know, trying to do the normal thing that all teenagers do. I had a girlfriend. It was my first ever girlfriend. I wouldn't do things that other people would do, so that didn't last very long at all. And, you know, there are things that it will cost you with Christ. But I'm here to tell you this morning, everything that it costs you, God can multiply and make so much better. So much better. He has a plan, and everything that you give up, everything that you lose is just like planting seed. And what happens when you plant that seed? We all know you plant a little piece of corn and you get stalks with lots of corn. So Joseph had everything lined up of what society told him that he should be doing, but he decided to not do it. He decided to have compassion on her. So what he originally thought was, okay, he said, I'm not, you know, he still cared about Mary. She's telling him this, he's having a hard time trying to believe it. Okay, yeah, so this is what you say. Give me some time to process. And he's like, okay, so we're going to get divorced, but I'm not going to have you stoned, so we're just going to separate. Let's jump into the story. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Again, society is like, yeah, right. but she knows the truth. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. I would hope to say that we could do the same thing when someone falls, when we have the perception that someone falls, that we will help build them back up with dignity and not just kick them away. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. When God shows up, it changes our way of thinking. We can have everything planned out. I am a planner. I am naturally a planner. I love to have things planned out. I love to have things in a row. I love checklists. I'm a huge fan of checklists, because when you got checklists, you can check stuff off. And it's that sense of accomplishment that I got this done, and then I got that done, and then I got that done. Love checklists. I love to get stuff done. But sometimes things get thrown in that throw all of that out the window. Sometimes we have to adjust on the fly. Sometimes we have to call an audible and make changes, and that's what they had to do. But see, when God shows up, it's all okay. It's like he already knows the playbook of the enemy. You know, when a quarterback in football, bear with me for a second, when a quarterback shows up to the line and he may see defenders that are up front and he may see that they're going to blitz, or think that they're going to blitz. So he will call what they do is called an audible, which means he will change the play that was called back in the huddle there on the fly. And he will call that according to what he sees. And when we're dealing with life, sometimes we have to realize that God already knows what the score at the end of the game is. And sometimes we have in our plan, we call the play in the huddle of, okay, this is what we're going to do. I got this planned out. We're going to run this play, and I'm going to do this, and this is all going to work out. And then we get up to the line, we get up to where the, what they call, you know, the action meets the road, and then all of a sudden all the situations change. Maybe the things that we thought were going to be here, the people we thought were going to be in certain locations didn't show up. Maybe contracts didn't come through. Maybe someone who we were relying on to do something for us didn't show up. Maybe something happened and they can't be there. And all these things change. And then we have to call an audible on the line. But see, when you do that audible with God, when we stop and say, you know what, God, I don't know what's going on, but I trust you. And when we allow the peace of his presence to come over us. It's amazing what happens when we truly let go and let him handle it and say, you know what, God, I'm done. I don't know what's going on here anymore, but I trust you, and I'm going to walk in what you've told me to do. And sometimes we just have to walk in what he tells us to do. When he calls an audible, when God changes things, when you have that still small voice on the inside that says, maybe you should go this way home. It's happened to me several times. I'll be driving home, drive the same way home all the time. Then all of a sudden think, for whatever reason, I go a different way. And I think, why did I do that? It's that still small voice on the inside sometimes that keeps us, that protects us. I was leaving work one day. And as I was leaving work, it was a Saturday, so nobody else was at the office. And I'd left work and I'd started to go down the road. And then it popped in my head, did I lock the gate? Very important that you lock the gate. So I'm like, I know I've never not locked the gate. So, but I'm like, I should turn around and go back. So I turned around. I hadn't gotten very far. So I just did a U-turn, went back, checked, gate was locked. I'm like, of course I locked the gate. What? Made no sense. So I got in my car and got, and as I was pulling up from CC or Pounds Road, getting ready to turn onto 67 to head back from Farmington, as I'm coming up to the stoplight, cars, there's like three cars that went flying past, going way faster than they should have been going. So I waited, made sure it was clear, pulled out, and started going down the hill. And right at the bottom of the hill, a car had pulled out of a side road, and there was a massive accident right there. the 15 seconds that it took me to go back and check that gate. Why? Because something in me, even though it didn't, I've never not locked the gate. I'm the kind of person that I usually double check stuff like that. It wasn't normal for me, but I need to go check the gate. When that happens, you need to listen. Sometimes we're so quick to just throw it off, whatever, and just do what we want to do. When God speaks to you, listen to that still small voice. Because when we do, when we trust in his presence, things happen better than we can ever imagine. Joseph had it lined out. This is the way, maybe you've experienced that. You had your life planned out. You knew exactly the way it was going to go. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to have a career. Then I'm going to get married, and we're going to have our 2.5 kids and our cat and our dog, and we're going to live in our 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. And you have all these plans of the way life's going to go, and something happens. I thought I knew the way my life was going to go. It was my junior year. I was actually in the rankings for the state high school wrestling. I was set to have the best year of my career. I was going down. I was playing chess with the Marine recruiter on a weekly basis. I was going to join the Marines right outside of high school. That was my plan. Week before homecoming, I was playing in a football game. My knee got bent sideways. Got 2 steel screws put in my knee. At that point in the 90s, if you had any metal in you at all, you were automatically disqualified. You could not join the military. I had no backup plan. I didn't know what I was going to do. I spent a lot of time praying. And you know what? In the beginning, I didn't get an answer. And it was frustrating. And I got mad. And I was annoyed because all the things that I had planned and all the things that I had figured out that I wanted to do just went out the window. I'm like, what now? I didn't know what to do. I was the first in the history of my family to graduate high school, so there wasn't really any help coming there because, we were trying to figure this out. My mom was doing the best she can. She's like, okay, maybe you need to talk to your guidance counselor at school. Maybe we need to figure out what your other options are. My guidance counselor, bless her heart, it was her first year right out of college. So she didn't really know what she was doing. And I had no idea what to do. But God slowly started putting plans together. A couple years later, I found myself living in St. Charles, going to school at ITT. Found out me and Gabe were actually at the same school at the same time in 96 and didn't know each other. I mean, and we talked about it. We had to have seen each other. It was a small school. So we had to have seen each other, just didn't know each other at the time. And then I found out that one of my friends was going to be spending Thanksgiving alone for the first time. Her parents had decided to go on a missions trip to Africa. And she was in Ohio and couldn't go. I didn't think nothing about it. She's my friend. She don't need to spend Thanksgiving alone. I'll fly out there and see her. So she made fun of me because I booked a Motel 6.
And you better be glad you did.
It was not an option. But so, I mean, I flew out there, and that more or less was Thanksgiving. Christmas, I was introduced as her friend by early summer. I was the boyfriend. We were married in August, that August, and we've been married for 28 years. You never know. Had things gone the way I had planned, had the door opened to where I got to join the military, who knows where my life would have ended up? Who knows where I would have ended up? I could have ended up on a base anywhere around the world and established myself on any of those bases. I didn't understand why it happened. I didn't understand why things were happening. but I trusted in him. I knew his presence enough, and I had enough peace. I had learned to rest in the peace of God, to hear and know what that presence was that surrounded me, and I knew it was going to be okay. Doesn't mean I understood it. It doesn't mean I was okay with it, because at the time I was still frustrated because all the stuff that I wanted, that I had planned, was gone. But I learned to rest in that peace, rest in that presence. And when you do that, when you can truly just rest and trust him, he will work it out. All things work to the good of those who believe him. Don't get so hung up on the details that you limit God, because he has plans. He wants to bless us more than we could ever hope or imagine. But we limit him in our way of thinking. We limit him by saying, no, he's got to work this way. He has to do things in this certain way. When we can truly let go, and God's like, let me show you what I can do. And he really blessed me. When Joseph found out Mary was pregnant, his world turned upside down. I mean, I can't imagine the hurt, the anger, just trying to understand, trying to wrap his mind around this. And then he gets this vision and this dream that makes it all make sense. Sometimes we need to just rest, stop, wait, and listen for God. When Tiff and I had been married for a while, I remember we were doing some financial peace classes here at the church, and we were pulling onto the parking lot when my niece, our niece, called us and said, hey, just want to run this by you. Found out a girl that I was working with is pregnant. She said she was thinking about having an abortion. So I just threw it out there and said, hey, if you knew the baby was going to a good home, would you be willing to carry it? She's thinking about it. We were like, what? Because we had been trying to have a family, start a family for 10 years. And it hadn't happened. And we had settled in our heart that if this is what God's plan was for us, we weren't necessarily thrilled about it, but we was okay. And we had settled in our fact that if it was just going to be us, we were going to be okay. And we were going to just rest in that peace. And then that popped into our lives. And it was like, huh. And then, you know, me, Mr. Analytical, I'm immediately going, okay, how am I going to pay for this? Adoptions are expensive. And then because it was another state, it's double expensive because there's a whole other separate amount of laws that are involved when there's two states. Learned a whole lot in that process. And throughout the whole process, I was like, God, how am I going to do this? And I'm just trusting him. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I can't make the numbers work. And I'm a numbers guy. And the math isn't mathing. So I'm like, God, you're going to have to do something here. And God did. He opened up doors that weren't even visible. I was given overtime that wasn't on the schedule for an entire summer, which helped pay a lot of the legal fees. My credit union at work granted me loans that in any normal way of thinking would be absurd for them to grant, using a 20-year-old car as collateral, and gave me a loan for us to finalize getting the funds that we needed. God opens doors. When the plans go south, when they blow up and they're nothing about what you think, when you learn to rest in his presence, there's something about the peace of his presence. And when you rest in that presence, God will make a way. He made a way for Joseph and Mary, knowing what was coming. They just had to rest. They had to get past their mind. And that's where our battle is. Our battle is up here. We get stuck. Well, you know, God, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I mean, maybe I have that argument with God all the time. God, I don't get it. This isn't the way it was supposed to be. But I trust you. And we have to finish with that, but I trust you. And we learn to listen, and we learn to dwell in that presence and that peace that he has. Joseph had decided that he was going to divorce Mary instead of having her stoned. While his response to Mary's situation was generous by Jewish standard, God wanted Joseph to go beyond what was socially acceptable. He wanted him to go beyond what was normal. And sometimes when we answer God, sometimes when we first step into that relationship with God, and God puts us in places with coworkers, with friends, and it gets a little uncomfortable. We find ourselves, what do I say? Is now the time when I talk to them about Jesus, or should I wait for a better opportunity? Listen to his voice. If the opportunity presents itself, God doesn't leave you stranded. The Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will receive boldness to be a witness. And when we listen to those to his still small voice on the inside, he will tell you when it's time. We always have a choice to do good. And oftentimes it's going to cost you. But his repayment plan is better than we can ever imagine. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 15. We have one more appearance. Then there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. To be just doing your job out in a field, and then the angel shows up. It's like, whoa. But the angel said to them, like they always do, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." That sentence right there, they had been waiting for the Messiah. And most of them had this idea in their head, and this goes on to be one of the greatest conflicts in the Jewish faith, is how that Messiah was going to show up. Because they thought the Messiah was going to come in on a white horse and conquer Rome and set the people free and be this warrior and this mighty man that was going to come in and do all this stuff. They didn't realize that it was going to be a baby born through humanity, understanding, raising to set them free on a different level, on a spiritual level. That, yeah, maybe this flesh is still bound. Maybe they were still under Roman rule, but he set them free. He sets us free. Said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." And then suddenly, oh man, just to be a fly on the wall in this. And then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." When God moves in your life, you got to testify. When those little things, she calls them kisses, I call them God winks. It's those little things in life that you're dealing with, stuff that you need God to show up. I can think of a time in my life that I was having a bad day. Yes, pastors have bad days too. Preachers have bad days. I was having a bad day. Don't remember exactly why at this point, but it was just one of those days. I was frustrated, I was aggravated, and I had all kinds of stuff that I had to do that I wasn't planning on doing. And I ended up finding myself the McDonald's drive-thru. I went most of the day, hadn't eaten anything. I'm like, I need to eat something. So I'll go through, get me a soda and a sandwich. Fine. So I went through, ordered my soda and my sandwich, and I'm praying at this point. I'm like, I'm just frustrated, God. I'm just frustrated. I know I got to do what I got to do, but I'm just aggravated. And I get up there, and lo and behold, someone bought my food. And you think, no big deal. It was a soda and a sandwich. You don't know what a soda and a sandwich might do for somebody else. Changed my day. Changed my attitude. Changed my whole outlook that day. It's those little God winks that he lets you know he still got you, that he's still in control, that things are still going to be okay. The problem is we get so busy running through life, doing all the stuff that we have to do, that we don't even notice most of them that are there. But if you can get your brain to slow down, if you can slow down enough to see, he's got you. He's got you. There are little things. It's hard not to see the little things in life where God sets you up and says, you know what? I know you're having a bad day. We can trust God to show up in our unknown circumstances. The announcement was the circumstances that they didn't realize was happening. The angels promised the Savior would be present with them, and it's present as well with us also. In a world where we can't control our circumstances, and so many people try, the illusion of control leads so many people astray. But we have plenty of reasons. Sometimes we have plenty of reasons to worry and be afraid, but we can trust God even in the middle of the hard things and rest in that presence. Sometimes it's the least expected times that God shows up. I was part of, at the end of my career with MoDOT, I did basically guard cable repair. I didn't actually do the repair. It was my job. I covered 26 counties, which basically the whole southeastern portion of the state. So if someone ran into the guardrail or guard cable out on the highway, I had to go out, inventory damage, take pictures, and it led me all over the place. Well, this particular day, I was all the way down on 55 at mile marker 4. So 4 miles from Arkansas. I am way down in the middle of nothing, and we just had an ice storm, so there was a lot of guard cable down in the median. So I all the way down there, you know, frustrated because that was my only spot that I had for that day. So I drive all the way down there. I park my truck in the only safe place I could, which was actually a bit away from where the damage was because I want to make sure that I was visible. So I got out, walked back, took the pictures, did all the stuff I had to do, and I was walking back to my truck. And I will never forget this. Sometimes you ever see those things that really honestly make you do a double take. I'm walking along, just kind of looking at the ground, and I pass, you know, you never know what you're going to see on the shoulder of the highway. You really don't. And I passed what looked like just a little TV dinner on the side of the road. I thought that was odd. And I took a couple steps further and I stopped. I was like, wait a minute. What did I just see? So I turned around, went back to it, and on the shoulder of the road was a TV dinner. Opened, the cellophane was pulled off, there was a spoon or fork in the food, and it was sitting on the ground. Not a bit of it was spilled. And it was like rice or something. I mean, it looked like someone had just pulled it out of the microwave and set it on the shoulder of the road. And I heard in my spirit, God provides meat in the wilderness. And I was like, wow. There are days that you're going, that you get so caught up in the busyness of life that sometimes you have to separate yourself and get your mind calm. God knows where you're at. That day, I needed to hear that. I needed to know because I was dealing with some stuff in life. And, you know, a lot of guys are probably like me. We're problem solvers. When problems show up, our brain immediately goes into fix mode. It's like that video we showed, I will never forget that it's not about the nail. It is about the nail. How can it not be? But it's not about the nail, but it's the nail. We're fixers. And when we can't fix what the weight we put on ourselves, what we feel we're supposed to fix, it weighs heavy on us. So if you ever have a guy that you know that's not his normal self, that's maybe a little quieter, maybe stop and pray for him. Ask him if there's something you can do. Because guys deal with a lot of stuff that they will never tell you about. Because most guys aren't the kind that are just going to go blab everything to everyone. We deal with most of our battles in our own head, because what do? We try to find our own way out, because that's what we do. That's just how we handle stuff. And we will go through however many scenarios it takes in our head till we figure out what we got to do to get out of it. But we get so trapped in our own heads that sometimes we fail to see that God has already made a way. He's already got a plan in place. That was what I needed to see that day. I have no doubt in my mind that that was a miracle. I mean, it was like a rice dinner, and there was not a piece of rice that was even on the side of the container. It was perfect on the side of the road. In fact, I can still see it. And that thought, I will provide meat in the wilderness. Whatever you're needing today, trust in God. Get back to the point. Maybe you have to do something that quiets your mind. Maybe you have to separate yourself from the noise that's going on in your life. Do what you have to do. Find a quiet place with you and God and listen to what he's saying. Sometimes we talk so much that God can't get a word in edgewise. Sometimes you got to shut up and listen. One mouth, two ears. Listen twice as much as you talk. But when you listen and when you learn, and it's not easy, and it's an ongoing thing, I still fight with it sometimes, learning to rest in his presence. Because I get caught up in my head and I have to shut my mind off to rest in that presence, to know that there's peace in that presence. When God showed up, when the angel showed up, he brought peace to a chaotic situation. Granted, the angel was creating some of that chaos in the midst of it when he told Mary, this is what's going to happen. Whoa, but it's okay. God's got it, y'all. When Joseph finds out, chaos, but peace in the presence. When we learn to sit and rest in the presence of God. Jesus' final words before ascending to heaven, he commissioned his disciples to spread the good news throughout the world, and he said he would be present with them always. Sometimes we just have to slow down. I was reminded the other day, here's my movie reference, Men in Black, alien movie, sci-fi. I love my sci-fi stuff, but towards the beginning of the movie, this guy's sitting on a rock, and his partner comes up and sits down next to him. They just had a little thing that kind of went haywire. He says to his partner, he says, they're beautiful, aren't they? His partner's like, what are you talking about? And he looks up and he says, the stars. Because they were alien cops, so they were always busy doing everything that they needed to do. And at that moment, he had realized that he had never stopped just to look at the stars anymore. And I was thinking, how do we get so busy just living life, doing the things that we have to do, that we fail to see all the way God intertwines everything and everyone? You know, there's relationships that a lot of us have in this church that we've built through time that God has put together. I truly believe that. And friendships that have been in, that God has melded people together. But sometimes we got to slow down and look and be reminded of what God has given us. In a world where busy is the norm and fear is the uncertainty, and literally everywhere around us, we have to learn to trust in his presence and follow the peace. When the waves are crashing all around us and we can't see or hear or feel a way out, remember his presence is the peace be still in the midst of a storm. But don't get so narrow-minded that we think the peace be still is just to calm the waves. Sometimes the peace be still is to calm our heart in the midst of the storm. Because when you have the peace on the inside, the waves could be coming over the side of the boat. And it's okay. There have been times in my life that I've gotten to that point to where I've learned just to trust them. Does it mean the situation was great? No, it did not. The situation was still bad. But I knew that I could rest in his presence and find peace in his presence. And that's what we have to do. as we celebrate the wonder of Christmas as we start off this series. It's the wonder of His presence. His presence is what I search for. When we come in and praise and worship, that's what I want. I want to get lost in His presence. And that's what we do is we come in. It's not about a show. There's not a single person on this praise and worship team that's up here trying to put on a show. That's not what it's about. They're creating an atmosphere for us to enter into the presence of God, to make it easier for us. Honestly, sometimes it takes a song or two for me to get my mind shut down because my mind is my battleground. And sometimes it takes me a little bit. But when you get there, there's few things that can match resting in the peace of His presence. And that's what He did. That's why Jesus came to give us that peace. On the front of that boat, when He said to the waves, "Peace, be still," He knew. It didn't catch Jesus by surprise that they were in the midst of the storm. Your storm did not catch Him by surprise. But when we can rest in the peace, be still, it all ends up okay. Before we leave this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're dealing with stuff right now, and peace is the last thing on your mind that you can even start to consider. I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus today. I can tell you honestly, there's no greater relationship than you will ever find than with Jesus. In the Word, He says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's that relationship with Jesus that sets us apart. If you would, please, every head bowed, every eye closed, bear with me for just a moment. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, or maybe you used to have a relationship and you've fallen back and it seems like such a distant thing, just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you this morning. If you don't know what it's like to rest in that peace, if you're going through something, like I said, I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but I want to ask you this morning, if you're going through something and you just need someone to pray with you because you're dealing with battles in your mind, in your body, in relationships and situations, just slip your hand up real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Father, there were hands that went up all over the place. Father, I just pray for every hand that went up and every father, every person who couldn't quite get their hand up. Father, Satan has infiltrated our lives and keeps our minds so busy, so chaotic, and tries to distract us from your peace. So before we go home today, Father, I pray as we're going to worship just a little bit, I pray as we do this song, I pray, Father, that you help people, Father, just to turn it over to you, just to lay it at your feet, to let go of the struggles that we're dealing with. To realize it's okay to not know. It's okay to not be in control. Help us, Father, to trust you. Help us to get back to the point to where we can just lay our burdens down and allow your peace and your presence to dwell over us. Father, I pray for every person who's struggling today. I pray, Father, for peace of mind. I pray, Father, that as they pray, as they seek your face, that your presence will just surround them, that your peace will envelop them and allow them to know that they are not alone. That no matter what the enemy throws at them, no matter what this world may say, that we are safe and where we need to be in your presence. Father, we just thank you for your word.